I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. The calls went out. Whosoever will, let him go. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice, church. Hallelujah. It's not a hope-so thing. It's not a predestinated, only a certain few are going. But those that want to go, the provision has been made. Hallelujah. Those that want to be on the streets of gold, the provision has been made. Those that want to spend eternal life in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the provision has been made. Those that want to spend the rest of their life burning in a place called the lake of fire, you're not taking advantage of the provision. It's there, and it's there for all. Praise be to our God. My opening text tonight I want to take from the book of Joshua. Appreciate the songs that are sung tonight. Just the reality, keep on the firing line. Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. He knows all about our struggles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, that is comforting to me to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He that has all power in heaven and in earth, knows all about my struggles. And He has just what I need in the midst of them. Whew, praise our God. Glory. Joshua chapter number 14, beginning at verse number 6, and I'm going to be reading all the way down to verse number 15 for our opening text here tonight. It says, the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, that's 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. Amen. I've preached this message one time before, and I want to preach tonight on full sails for God.
full sails for God.
Now, you know this story. This is a very familiar story. This story has been preached on multitudes of times about Joshua. It's been preached on about Caleb. But we're going to deal with Caleb a little bit tonight and the reality of what Caleb was bringing to the attention of Joshua and reminding him, rehearsing with him all these things. He was there when Moses promised it. He was there when everything was happening and God was giving promises to those that were faithful to him. These are the only two men of the children of Israel that were above the age, I can't remember now exactly the age, but that didn't fall in the wilderness. They were the only ones left who came to the land the first time. Two men out of that whole host of Israel that perished in the wilderness after 40 years. They've been to battle for 5 years. Now it's time for the land to be divided. And Caleb wants his land. He wants his inheritance. Have you ever wondered why Caleb wanted that part for his inheritance? A mountain with giants, fenced cities, and that's the one he wanted. Well, let's give a little insight to it from the scriptures of possibly why he wanted that portion of land. You see, Caleb served the Lord wholly. Caleb took full advantage of every opportunity he had to serve the Lord. Caleb knew something about this portion of land that he had learned that had been passed down to him possibly in this 40 years in the wilderness. Maybe even before. He said, "Now therefore give me this mountain." Little history about this place called Kirjath Arba. In Joshua 14:15, we just read that a great man, Arba, he's the one that dwelt here. His city was there. But we find that it was called Kirjath Arba in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 2. And I don't have that scripture for you here. But yet the reality is this is the place where Abraham's wife Sarah died. Around this portion of land is where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob lived most of their time in Canaan. In the book of Genesis. And near it was the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. This is possibly why Caleb chose this part for his inheritance. Because this is where history began. This is where the promise was first given. This is where the men that God gave the promise to had lived, dwelled, and were buried there. In other words, this shows that the promises of God were very important to this man named Caleb. For the promise first came to Abraham, then to Isaac, on down to Jacob. And all of Jacob's children are the ones entering in now to the land of Canaan. And so this shows forth the desire and how much Caleb loved God and God's promises and what God had done for his people. Praise our God. And so he was taking back an inheritance. He was going back to where God first began to move and the children of Israel came forth. Praise God. You see, this shows forth the character, the nature of Caleb. And still, after 45 years, he's still honoring God, worshiping God, praising God, and he's humble before God, and he's just asking for what God promised. Do you realize your victory has been promised by God? And Caleb was just asking for what God had promised. Your victory, it's promised. So seeking it, asking for it, shows forth your faith in God. Shows forth your allegiance to God. Shows forth your worship to God. Victory is yours. Victory is mine. Because Jesus Christ has paid for it already. It's already purchased. It's already available. Hallelujah. This is why it's such an exciting thing to live for Jesus Christ this day, this hour, because all the provisions have been made. And as you and I make use of those provisions, hallelujah, that's when our lives become like Caleb's life. That's when our lives become keep on the firing line. That's when our lives become press along to glory land. That's when our lives become Jesus knows all about my struggles, and he's going to take me on through. Hallelujah. I mean, Caleb made that statement, if the Lord be with me. That was not a question. Hallelujah. That was a statement on Caleb's part of that day and that hour. I know my God is going to be with me. He's been with me for the last 45 years, and he's kept me alive. I'm still as strong as I was when he gave me the promise, and I know he'll be with me all the way to the end. Caleb did not withhold one thing, one ounce, one thought, one desire that he had from God Almighty. Wow. Now you've got a little insight into the reason why Caleb was the man that he was, why he stood out among the multitude of the children of Israel. And the key is that he wholly followed the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. 45 years in the wilderness. 5 years of warfare in the land of Canaan. And he kept me alive. Woo, hallelujah. What is that? That's a statement of faith. He kept me alive. It's because he gave me this promise. It's because he gave me this inheritance. And hallelujah, I'm going to go in and I'm going to take it. And you know the rest of the story. He did. He went in, took that land, defeated those giants. Well, praise God. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? Because he wholly followed the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see that word holy, and this is what I really want to get to tonight. That word holy followed the Lord. In our English language, you know, we realize it's all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. I mean, but in that language, in the Hebrew, it had more of a pictorial definition. And so, you know, we, like I said, we understand that means he entirely followed the Lord. He completely followed the Lord. He perfectly followed the Lord. He totally followed the Lord. I mean, he attended to the Lord. He imitated the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He observed everything of the Lord. He practiced everything about God. I mean, this is just what you and I would picture from English. And so I want you to realize this wasn't just a whim with Caleb. This wasn't just an adrenaline rush of Caleb from time to time. If you know what I mean. You know, there's times we can, when this is the terminology we would use, we get pumped. We get excited.
And we get fervent, hallelujah. And then by Monday morning, you know, we're just kind of back to drab. No, this is, now, see, Caleb wasn't like that. It wasn't just a whim. It wasn't just an adrenaline rush for the moment. But this was Caleb's way of life. Every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He just didn't get really stirred up for Sunday. I made it to church. Wow. Pastor ought to be happy. That's all I should have to do is make it to church. Glory. I'm glad you made it to church tonight. Praise God. I'm glad I made it to church tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. But you see, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be full sails for God. Full sails for God. You're looking at that ship up there on that projection. You'll notice that all the sails are in the position of full. All the sails are dropped down, put up, however you explain it. I'm not a sailor. Don't know that much about a ship other than it's a boat and it floats. And then those sails make it go. And it can make it go fast, or they can pull their sails down and it will go slow. So, with this in mind, full sails in a good 30 mile an hour wind is going to send you cutting across the sea. Full sails. For God. Not just piddly here and piddly there. Full sails. Everything you got. And then letting God do the rest. Okay, let me read something to you here tonight. And believe it or not, I'm going to close, or it's my intention to close, but we'll see. I want you to notice this also about Caleb. I have wholly followed the Lord, my God. And in the Hebrew, that is quite a striking word. More striking than in the English. It is a pictorial word in the Hebrew and describes a ship going out at full sail. That is the very keynote of Caleb from beginning to end. He was the man he was from the beginning to the end because he was out and out. Because there was no limitations and provisions with him. He was not a man who, as Paul would say, made provision for the flesh and made provision for the lust thereof. But having been called by God to his service, he made that service his meat and his drink. You've got to understand what that means. Our meat and our drink mean a lot to us as human beings, if you stop and think about it. It reminds me of the words Jesus said to his disciples, I have meat that you know not of. Woo. Hallelujah. To Caleb, serving God was his meat and drink. It was the most important thing in his life. He went in for God and his cause like a ship in full sail. He flung every power of body and soul and spirit like a free sheet to the winds of God's grace and God's spirit and God's providence. Glory. He let go. And then the writer here is talking to a specific young man. He says, young fellow, it is the ruin of you because you are holding back on God. You will never be a Caleb. You will never be a Joshua. You will never be a David. Never, never, never at the rate you are going by holding back and saving your own life, therefore losing it. taking so much of God's ways because it fits you. In other words, just a small portion that you don't mind doing, and scoring out or marking out certain other items that you don't like. Go in for all of God's ways if you want to enjoy Christian life. Have you ever seen Christians that are not happy? That everything seems to be a drudgery? Everything seems to be a drag, if I can use that terminology. Everything just seems to be discouraged or depressed. And I realize discouragement and depression attack all kinds of people. All people. All Christians. But yet there's some people, they have never, ever encountered full sails for God. They've never encountered throwing all they have unto the Lord. They always hold back. They always reserve themselves. Do you realize it is the tendency of human beings to reserve themselves? Not all. There are some temperaments that they just give it all without thought. And then a lot of times they wish they wouldn't have done that because it got them in trouble. Because they didn't think before they leaped. They didn't think before they spoke. But giving it all to Jesus Christ, we as human beings have this tendency to hold back just a little bit, just in case. Now, these young people over here, they have a natural habit not to give all. Because if you give all, then everybody will know you can give all. And you might have to do something more. And so you hold back so you don't, you only have to do what people know you can do. Now, you might wonder, how does Pastor know that? Because Pastor was your age before too. And Pastor was very good at playing dumb, thinking he was smart by playing dumb. Dad would come and say, do you know how to drive that tractor? No, Mike and Alan do. Well, I better let them do it then. Yeah. You ever drove the hay truck before? No, Dad, I never drove that before. Well, I better let Mike or Alan do that too. Yeah. You getting the picture? Yes, 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 some of these children, well, can you do this? Well, I don't know. I've never done it before. They're hoping you're going to ask somebody else. They don't even want to try to do it. Even if they haven't done it before, they don't really want to try. Because then they realize if I try, then I can do it. He's going to ask me again. Am I right? Anywhere close? See, I haven't forgot everything I learned as a kid. Praise God. But the sad part about it, it sometimes moves into adulthood. You're scared I'm coming to you, aren't you? I knew you were. But it does move to adulthood sometimes. You know, we've got lawnmowers we could ride, but for some reason we don't. Woohoo! Oh, Sister Janie's laughing. You know she is because she's watching right there on Facebook. That's an inside joke. I made Janie's day that day. Praise God. Woo! I mean, it does. It moves to adulthood, you know. Pastor says, well, do you know how to do this? Do you want to do this? Praise our God. But you see, Caleb was looking for anything and everything because he had his sails full. Lord, whatever you want me to do, was that not the words of the Apostle Paul when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, when he found out this is Jesus, who he was persecuting, who he was fighting against, who he was murdering his servants? And then he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What was he full saying? Lord, what would you have me to do? I realize you are Christ. I realize you're the Lord. I realize you're the Savior. On the road to Damascus, and he said, what would you have me to do? He opened everything. and gave it all right there. And from that moment forward, he did all kinds of great things the next day, right? Oh, I forgot part of it, didn't I? He was blind and couldn't even see and couldn't even walk by himself. Whoa. He just met Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was now saved, washed in the blood. And full sails for God. And he has to be led by somebody else into Damascus. Full sails for God doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Go back to Caleb. Caleb had to walk in the wilderness for 40 years for something he didn't do. He had to fight in the wilderness for something he wasn't the cause of. He had to suffer with the children of Israel for their sin, not his. But he had a promise. Woo. He had a promise. So for 40 years, it was just one foot in front of the other. For 40 years, Moses, what do you need me to do?
Joshua,
what do I need to do today? I'm
ready. I'm here. I'm available. Put it my way.
Woo. Hallelujah. For 40 years. Guess what? For 40 years, there really wasn't a whole lot to do. Walk around the mountain. Walk around the mountain. 40 years. Wow. But it didn't change him a bit. I'm still as strong. I can still go to war. I'm still holy, serving the Lord. Glory. Full sails for God is not an option. We make it an option and we choose not to be that way many times in our Christian life. But if we want the fullness of the kingdom of God, if we want that wonderful, abundant life, it's going to have to be full. It's going to have to be full sails for the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. Giving ourselves over to the winds of God's grace, God's Spirit, God's providence. Hallelujah. God's providence. We made mention of that providence just the other night in our preaching. The reality of that providence is all of a sudden God shows up on the scene, speaks. We got to obey. His providence. He provides something and it astonishes us, overwhelms us, and if we're not careful, we'll have a tendency to pull back. But God said, let the winds of God blow. There may be a soul outside these doors. Are you full sails? So when the wind blows, can take you right to them. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Holy following the Lord. That's good. Oh, that's Caleb. And that's what that word means. No reserve. Always going. Always doing. Always ready, always willing. And Caleb was very well able. Because God had kept him alive. Glory. Praise our God. How am I going to stay alive spiritually? How am I going to stay alive in my walk with Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. It's going to be when Jesus Christ comes to me, I respond positively. Hallelujah. And I willingly give myself away. Oh, we sing that chorus around here different times, and I love that. I'll give myself away. I'll give myself away. Oh, Lord, I'll give myself away. A lot of times, some people don't realize what that means. If you don't give yourself away to the Lord, that means you're holding yourself back for you. And my friend, that will not get you any peace, love, joy, goodness, meekness. When you hold it back just for you, that's selfishness. Self-preservation. And thus, God cannot bless. God cannot pour out what He wants to pour out in our lives. Because we've preached on this before. We've got the umbrella up. And the blessings of God can't come in because we are reserving this portion for ourselves. Throw down your umbrella. Go full sail for your God, my God, and see what God will do. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Could I have a piano player? Sister Pepper, can you come back to the piano for us here tonight? Full sails for God. When God asks, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes we want to make sure God asks. But then a lot of times we know God asked. And when we say yes, that's when we furl. And that's when the Spirit of God then blows and we can move right into the will of God of our lives. I guess I can relate to this message because I have personally experienced it in my life. Multitudes of times. Not that I wanted to hold anything back from God, but then when God came for direction, then I would pull back. There would be reservation. There would be fear. There would be doubt. There would be unbelief. These are all the enemies of faith. They are real. They are fiery darts of the enemy. But when faith then prevails, be courageous. Faith prevailed. How does faith prevail? You say yes. You throw up the sails, and then God goes to work. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it until I probably get old, and can't remember anything. Standing over there in the first church on 502 East 4th, standing over there in that spot I always stood, right underneath that big square box, flower greenery on top of it, looking towards the platform, singing, worshiping God, looking out the window in the back, just enjoying the presence of God. And just out of the blue, from nowhere, no previous thought, I can't say no previous thought. We always wanted a bigger building. But the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, my soul, it's time to go bigger. One of the first times I never argued with God. I just knew it was God and I knew it was time. I just began to weep. And I said, Lord, I'm ready.
whatever you want to do. You just show me the way. You just show me what I need to do. From that point forward, we looked at steel buildings. If you remember correctly, and I know Brother Charles realizes it, there's a big pile of dirt in the back of the churchyard that was donated to us. All right, confirmation. We're going to build. Sorry. That was the wrong road. I mean, it seemed right because they said, yeah, you want this dirt, you can have it. Well, you know, we didn't build, did we? But we got a pile of dirt back there, and I even had to move it once with my dad's tractor because I'd had him pile it up that we was going to build, and then we kind of started, got an offer to buy a building around the corner. All right, okay, we don't have to build. No building project. Woo, high shouting, high glory there. Well, I've heard all them doom stories about building projects. All right, we ain't going to have to build, so I moved the dirt pile to the back. Left it kind of rough. Sorry, Brother Charles. Left a pile of dirt that I was supposed to spread out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, so it wouldn't be so rough when you mow down that little valley. Sorry, Brother Charles. We moved on to bigger projects here, and that just got left behind. I'm sorry. So we're dealing with the church around the corner. All right. New church, nice church. I mean, we've had services in there, school programs in there. So, okay, we can make this happen. That didn't work. How are we going to do this? I don't understand. Ever been there? I don't understand. What are you trying to do, God? Am I getting the cart ahead of the horse here? Am I getting too excited about this? What are you trying to do? Now I get a phone call. A humorous phone call. The owner of this building. So you need to buy my building. That's what I did too. You're crazy. I didn't say that, but yeah, right. Buy your building. I saw what you wanted for it. Yeah, you know. Well, I didn't do that just, you know, the second time when somebody said you ought to buy this land over here. I didn't laugh then, Brother Larry. I just said, give me time. Just give me time. And then he offered us this building for $129,000. Of course, now the rest is history, because here we sit in a nice, wonderful sanctuary, a nice, wonderful fellowship hall, a nice school, gymnasium. All that happened because when he said, I want to go bigger, I said yes, but I had no dream in my mind of what bigger meant. Even if we had built on that portion of land what we could afford to build, we'd have nothing like what we have here. Nothing. So sometimes when God is trying to tell us something, we can't look at every door that opens. We got to keep following until we find the door he's really wanting to show us. And the door that he wanted to show us was back to that door of renovation, construction, building project in a different form. But I don't regret it. I didn't dread it, because I knew God was in it. And I knew that whatever we needed to do, that through God's grace and God's strength, we'd get it done.
Full sail. Just full sail. When dilemmas arose, it was time to do something, we went full sail.
This roof, this ceiling, is suspended over this sanctuary because men and women went full sails for God. No matter how hard it was, no matter how much work it was, said, God, if it needs done, we'll do it.
I don't remember how many times we painted the thing. Robert painted it. I think Jason painted it. Lucas got in on some of it. I was always on the ground level when it come to that. Praise be to God. Full sails.
Where is it going from this point? I have no earthly idea other than forward and forward. Full sails. See, the only way God's plan will ever work is if men and women are ready for God Almighty right where they're at. Never get in your mind you can full sail somewhere else if you're not full sailing where you're at. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You ever heard that? It's a lie. It's the same grass on that side as it is the other side. Full sails is not a matter of where you're at. It's a matter of being that wherever you're at. Woo! No nickel and diamond, Brother Larry. Full sail. Full sail. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's food distribution, full sails. Full sails. Whether it's schoolwork. Woo. I'm so proud of our kids this year already. My buttons are about to bust. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so excited. It's going to be one of the best school years I think we've ever had. Because I've got young people. Because of Rangers. Because of God's presence and God's spirit. Because of patience and time and a continual preaching and teaching and encouraging and pushing and prodding and sometimes even spanking. They have a rose. They're going full sails. They're going full sails in their schoolwork. I haven't seen it like this in a long time, Sister Kathy. I really haven't. These kids have stepped into those desks and they have begun to work as unto the Lord. Full sails. Glory. Just makes me want to get on board. Make sure I'm for my God. Giving all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Giving myself wholly to the grace of God, the Spirit of God, the providence of God. Glory. We've still got people inquiring about the school. But now we've kind of hit a limit. But it's awesome what God can do. Isn't it, young people? Doesn't it? And I'm not picking on you. Please don't misunderstand me. Doesn't it feel so good to have your work done? Doesn't it feel so good to get done early? And get to go out and play dodgeball, basketball. Just like old days, Brother Jason. I get their work done and we can go play. It's helped me so much. I played dodgeball today, Brother Larry. My shoulder don't hurt a bit. Why? I'm just presuming God's touched him sometime this week. First day, I just kind of threw one. Maybe not. Second day, I did this. That was okay. Today I just plowed them. Full sails. Full sails for God. Wherever you're at. All the time. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Thursday nights. Not just on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's the way of life for the victorious child of God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I am so thankful for what God is doing in our hearts, in our lives, in our church. But don't misunderstand, the enemy attacks. He attacks here, there, and everywhere. But because men and women are full sails for God, their faith is quenching every fiery dart. Woo! Hallelujah. Because they know their God. They know that God is with them. And they know this is the reward of those that walk uprightly. This is the reward of those who are full sails for God. Hallelujah. Oh, the trials are going to come. The tests are going to come. There's going to be time of heartache, grief, and sorrow. You don't think Caleb had some of that in those 40 years? Watching the children of Israel rebel against God? Watching the children of Israel over and over again have to be destroyed because they wouldn't listen to God? But he stayed true. He stayed strong. And he wholly followed the Lord all the way to the end. Full sails for God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's come around these altars. Let's find us a place to pray here tonight. Let's respond to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the message of our God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the King. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The keeper of my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You will be with us all the way to the end. Lord, if it's hard, Lord, you'll grant us courage and strength. Oh, Father in heaven, Lord, just pour your Spirit out. Lord God, in this house, Lord God, those that are watching on Facebook, pour your Holy Ghost out right there in that home, upon that event individual, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, as they lift their hearts with their hands, Lord, and they make that profession of faith, full sails, God, full sails for you, your kingdom, your will, your word.